This episode of Road Dirt, the podcast, is brought to you by Cycle World of Athens. Family-owned and operated since 1975, Cycle World of Athens is the Southeast United States' premier go-to dealership for all things Honda, Suzuki, Yamaha, and Polaris. Find them at cycleworldathens.com. Well, welcome to Road Dirt, podcast of Road Dirt Motorcycle Media and RoadDirt.tv, your down-home grassroots motorcycle brand covering what we like to call ride life, hashtag ride life these days. This is Rob Brooks, your host. Thanks for tuning in. And we've been continuing our series called Meet the Road Dirt Crew, as we've been talking about the motorcycling life of each one of the guys and gals that contribute to Road Dirt, that write stories and shoot photos and video for us, just to help you get to know them a little bit more, because we just thought that'd be fun. So many of them have got great stories of how they entered into motorcycling, what motorcycle riding means to them, and we thought we'd share that with you. This one up is a real treat. It's Mike Boyd. He's like the senior statesman of the group, and a combat Vietnam veteran, decorated and Purple Heart during the war, and an avid motorcycle rider just about his entire life. And this was a chat he and I had the other day. Thought we'd share it here with you. So without any further ado, let's get into it. Well, Mike Boyd, thanks for coming to the podcast.
Well, you're welcome. Good to be here.
Good to have you, my friend. Hey, thanks for coming on with me for a few minutes. We're kind of going through a series with our podcast where we're chatting with each one of the Road Dirt contributors, and you are one of the favorites on the site because of the great stories you've told and places you've been. You have been a traveler on two wheels, that's for sure, over the years. So thanks for coming on, man. Hey, now you're considered, like, I guess, the elder statesman of the Road Dirt crew, and
oh my god.
Yeah, that's yeah, we're trying to be as kind as we can, right?
That's scary. Yeah, I know.
Now, when did you've been riding motorcycles most of your life? When did you first get into bikes yourself?
Oh, I would say about the time that I was getting ready to graduate from a bicycle to a motorcycle. I think I might have been 13.
Oh, cool.
And I took a lawnmower engine and got together with a guy at the high school shop, and he welded a plate on it for me. And I adapted a Briggs & Stratton lawnmower engine to a Schwinn bicycle.
Oh my gosh.
And took off down the road. The only problem was it had a coaster brake, and I was using the sprocket and a centrifugal clutch on the lawnmower engine. So yeah, it didn't have any brakes.
Oh, good Lord.
And the gearing was all wrong. I didn't quite understand that yet. So I was, there weren't too many people out there though, but yeah, the bottom line is that it was a one shot deal to a crash. shortly thereafter, when I was 13, yeah, I got a Vespa 150 for Christmas. That would have been a 63 150.
Yeah.
I think if I think back on this, the first time that I ever got on it and took off and made a turn, it was a feeling of freedom that you didn't have because of the power of acceleration that you don't have with a bicycle.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I just fell in love with it then. And that was in 1963. And wow, Now I'm 75 years old and I'm knocking out 20,000 miles a year, retired.
Dude, that was the year I was born.
Really?
You've been riding that's incredible. Been riding so long, man. And it's cool too that, you know, you got hooked. Just the power, the acceleration, the freedom, the feeling. Wow.
Oh yeah, I had several bikes in high school, and
really, what else did you ride in high school?
A Honda 450.
Yeah.
let me see, a 350 Honda I had. I had a couple of Hondas. And then I got drafted and went into the Army.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a motorcycle then. I did ride a, I borrowed a Triumph 650 from a guy in Vietnam and rode it through some bad country to go see a hooker that I had fallen in love with.
Oh, Mike.
I didn't even get killed doing that. But yeah, that's been the story of my life anyway.
You did a stint in Vietnam. What exactly did you do? You wrote about it, so I want you to tell our listeners here was your role.
Well, I was drafted in 69, and I went down and signed up for the Army, see what I could get into, and they asked me if I wanted to be a helicopter pilot.
Wow. Because
I took this rudimentary 5-question test, and they said, oh, well, you're qualified. I think they were looking for the warm bodies. But anyway, yeah, that's what I did in Vietnam. I flew helicopters and flew Hueys in Vietnam.
And, now, you were wounded in action.
I was. I just came back from that Purple Heart meeting here in Athens. It's a great bunch of guys.
Tell us what happened.
I was ambushed in an LZ doing a resupply mission. We were landing, just doing a rudimentary everyday resupply mission. And this guy was in a hole on the edge of the LZ that we covered up, and he was hiding there. And when we landed, he just popped up with a machine gun and started shooting at us. And
wow.
hit my co-pilot pretty hard in the arm. And from there, it was just kind of like scrambled to get out of there. All kinds of machine gun fire and people trying to kill each other and all that stuff. We all managed to get out of there and survive. I ended up seeing all those guys again 50 years later, which would have been 2 years ago now. I went and visited all of them. One of them, the gunner, has since passed away, so it was good that I got to see him. I'm going on a road trip in June back out to Utah to visit with another Purple Heart recipient veteran, and we're going to ride, he lives in Flagstaff, we're going to ride up to Grand Canyon and then all around south central Utah. It's beautiful country, canyon lands and Bryce Canyon, all that.
Beautiful ride.
And there isn't any bad riding there. The national parks have gotten difficult lately because of the delayed entry, so I may skip the national parks. There's just so much pretty country to see anyway.
For sure. A lot of times, anyway. I know as you've written about some of your road trips on road dirt, you've mentioned a lot that you connect up with old, Army and Vietnam War veteran friends and fellow Purple Heart recipients who were, hit and wounded in action over there as well. It's really cool that a lot of you guys still network and keep up with each other and spend time with each other whenever you can. I think that's a wonderful thing. So, hey, after the war, how long did it take you to get back into motorcycles after you came back from the war? Was it pretty quick or a few years?
When I was in Vietnam, I bought a 650 Triumph and, had it shipped to Jacksonville, Florida. And when I got home and got out, I moved to Orlando, and I went and borrowed a trailer from a guy. When it came in, I got there before it did. And I went and got a brand new 650 Triumph, a TR6C in the crate.
Gorgeous.
And took it out. It was blue and white. And that was a great motorcycle, fast. Had a couple of issues as far as humidity down in Florida. It would tend to cause the points to get wet, and it wouldn't want to fire if you let it sit outside at night. Didn't have a seal on the points cover, so little things like that that get you. But
my dad had a red and white one when I was a kid. I remember that TR.
Oh, yeah,
it was gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, a friend of ours just bought a what was a 70 T120 here in town. In fact, he let me ride it maybe 2 weeks ago. Kind of brought back old memories.
Gonna say, but, brought back some Now, by 1970, the one you just rode with, and even the earlier one, the clutch and the braking and shifting were on opposite sides than they are now, right?
Yes. Yeah, kind of like one of my Sprints. It's just, you know, the Japanese had the most motorcycles by what was it, 70, what, three?
73.
The beginning of it. 73, I think, was when the mandate was.
Yeah.
But anyway, they make everything right-hand brake, left-hand shift. But before that, there was a good bit of motorcycles that were opposite that.
Yeah. I learned. His was opposite, like I remember.
You know, I've operated so many different kinds of equipment, from different kinds of helicopters to different motorcycles and different things. I mean, I've got that survey car, and it's an old Wienerbade trike, so it's got a left-hand throttle. And you just look at what you're on and think about what you're doing. That's all it is. You don't if you're stupid and you get on something like that and you go down to the end of the road and you upshift one gear and then run through the stop sign, that's your fault.
That's right. So, you've got speaking of the Aramachi, you've got a lot of motorcycles in the garage. Just run through the bikes you currently have right now.
The ones I have now are I've got a 70 survey car that belonged to a Marine friend of mine who's passed away for 25 years ago now. And yeah. I restored it and painted it up like a military thing. I've got a 2013 Super Glide. That's a 96-inch Super Glide. It's got 66,000 miles on it. I bought that to participate with the Hog Club here in Athens. And I was riding a Sportster when I moved here, and it was all these long miles up in the mountains on a Sportster. It was a rigid mounted Sportster, and it was knocking my shoulders out. So I bought that so I could keep participating with the Hog Club, which doesn't exist anymore. What else have I got out there? Well, I recently, 2 years ago, bought that Honda CB500X.
You've written that.
Right. I wrote about that because I did a great trip on that out to Utah. That was the last time I was out there. I went out there and with the same guy that we're going to meet up with this year, but we're not camping anymore. He said that was the last time he was sleeping on the ground.
Hey, do you still have those three Harley Aramachi Sprints? Is there three of them?
I do. I've got a 70. The 70 is a hot rod. It's got a 74 electric start motor in it with a Wiseco piston, and it's modified. It's I've got a lot of friends that dirt track those things, so I've learned a lot about them and what I want. But this is a street bike, not a dirt track racer. I've probably built seven or eight of those Sprints through the years, and then sold them all. Other than the I restored a 74 from two 74s back in finished it up in 2011, which was the 50th anniversary of the Sprint. And I rode it from southern Louisiana, where I was living, up to Lexington, Ohio. That was for the for a reunion of Sprint people, because it was the 50th anniversary. And then I have a 73, and it's the first Sprint I ever bought. And I didn't know anything about them. I just bought it and fixed it up. Whenever the grandkids would come over for holidays, I'd put them in the front of it when they were real little. Just ride them around. And they got a little bit bigger. I'd let them hang on to the handlebars and actually do the throttle and everything. And eventually they'd get big enough to ride it. So I've got a, you know, I've got a family history with that bike. So I keep it.
That's it's a heirloom for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Got a little Metropolitan too, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
Scooter.
I bought that for my wife 5 years ago or so. It's an 06. I bought it so she could have something to ride around at the campgrounds while we were out riding long distances on the at hog rallies, like up at Hiawassee, so she wouldn't be stuck in the camper. Yeah. But I've actually gotten very used to it. And as you know, it goes to Barber with me every year for the Vintage Festival because it's the most convenient thing to ride around and take pictures and interview people. It's a step through, easy to start, beautiful thing. The bike I ride the most now is a 18 Goldwing, a DCT Tour. In fact, I was out riding that today.
I like that DCT transmission in that.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It took a little getting used to as far as the slow speed starting. You have to feather it. You have to have a real feel for it, or it's difficult in parking lots. Other than that, it's great from the get-go. And man, it's fast because you can paddle shift that booger up and down faster than any human being can pull in a clutch and shift. So up in the mountains, in the twisties where you have these 100-yard straightaways, you can hammer that thing and then hammer it right back down and make those sharp turns. It's
good night.
You know, it's not a sport bike by any means, but it sure is it's easier to operate. You're going to see more and more DCT come along, I know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Honda's been adding them to more motorcycles and refining it. We've done, you know, I've ridden the DCT Goldwing and it's a dream to ride, and they put it in 1100 and the Rebel 1100 T bagger.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Hammered that thing up a year or two ago when Ted came down from Washington. So yeah, it's an amazing bike. So really the Goldwing is your favorite. It's kind of currently your go-to bike just for day riding.
It really has become that. It's just, I mean, just like this time of the year, you know, I ride every Friday. I lead rides every Friday from over here on the east side of Athens and pick different places in the winter. I mean, the fairing is so perfect on it. It's got heated grips, heated seat. You can ride in any kind of weather with it. I bought that bike new and it was a demo. It had like 60 miles on it, and I got a hell of a deal on it from Cycle World. And then, but I've got 65,000 miles on that right now. I did the air cleaner on it a couple of weeks ago. That's a learning experience.
About this, you've done so many road trips and to all different kinds of locations all over the United States. Been one of your favorites when you think back of favorite road trips, favorite rides? What's one of your favorites?
You mean since I grew up?
Did you ever grow up?
Oh yeah. I was thinking about this stuff the other day, like at Perry Lake, Kansas, and the 500 kegs of beer over 3 day weekends. And things like that, nutty stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I years ago, I went with a good friend of mine, and we rode all the way out to California to Big Sur, and then rode all the way up to Vancouver along the coast, the whole way, and camped out in the redwoods and. I think that was an epic trip. I really enjoyed that. I've done so many of these things, and I've evolved from riding around like a total free person with nothing but a sleeping bag and no change of clothes, a toothbrush, and going to places like Sturgis where you'd meet people, and if you liked them, you just when you got at the end of the day, you just lay down on the ground next to your motorcycle and go to sleep. And you know, nowadays everybody either has a hotel room or they have a camp spot, so they have to get back to their home every day. And I went through years like that, sleeping. I'll go cross country, sleep on the in the rows, the hedge rows behind by the bean fields. Just pull off the road somewhere and sleep, or boat launches and things like that. Just, you know, I was younger then, but probably older than I should have been to be doing crap like that. But there's been so many of them, you know.
I think about motorcycling back in the 60s and the 70s and even into the 80s some, and just, you know, just the freedom of the open road without a lot of fear of people messing with you and things like that. There were so many that lived kind of that quote unquote easy riders lifestyle that just bike pointed in the direction, and wherever you end up that night is where you lay your head. And then
that's what I did. And if I, you know, I go cross country and I meet people, and they invited me to come stay with them, I'd go stay with them. Nothing bad ever happened to me. I never had any bad experiences. I met a lot of nice people. I tell you what, Rob, I've met a lot of people and I keep track of them. I've always have. And I rattle people's cages, all the time. I know people all over the United States and I call them and I check on them. And I enjoy that. You know, it's as much for me as it is for them. Some of them don't ride anymore. Some of them have decided they're too old, but I'm only 75, so I'm not too old yet.
You are only 75, brother. That is exactly
right.
You got miles and years ahead of you, my brother.
I hope so. Yeah. I don't know about the 20,000 miles a year every year. I don't know if I'll be able to keep that up or not.
Yeah, that's
we lost our dog last week, and so that's kind of traumatic.
But you know, that's just living that motorcycling. I was thinking, you know, what we call ride life, just living motorcycling. Motorcycling is a part of your life, and you know, and really, it's like Ted Edwards has said before, you know, that the best part is relationships. Relationships are everything. The people.
Oh yeah.
The experiences and the places you go and the scenery you ride through is gorgeous, but remember, the people you meet really affect your life, you know, and those are the memories that are the most special are the people you relationships you've established over the years. And I know, you know, that's true.
It is. And I've used Facebook as a tool to keep up with a lot of people that I've known through from high school and even before high school. I was talking to a guy yesterday that I went to grade school with. We were talking about, he shared a picture of me from maybe third grade at a Catholic grade school that we went to together. We'd play sandlot baseball out there. It was South Florida and everything was just a big sand pile. But those kind of things, you know, if you think about it, you remember them.
You do.
You do. You remember.
Oh, I do. Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, so what have you got planned for this year? What road trips, what rides have you got planned for this year? I know you're.
Oh, okay. Well, June's full. I've got, I'm going to Barber to the small bore rally. I got hooked on this small bore thing. And I hope to do more with the souping up of these bikes because there's a big interest in it. And so I'm going to Barber, and then I'm going straight from there. I've got my little trailer I'm going to take a couple of bikes. I have a daughter that lives up in by Knoxville, and I'm going to go up there a couple of days early. I just made a reservation for a camp spot right off the parkway up there near Maryville. I'm going to go see her and take her ride and take that 500 up there and ride for a few days
with your daughter
for that small bore rally there. And then I'm coming back and I'll be home for a week, just long enough to get packed up for that Utah trip, and that'll be the last 2 days in June. If I have any ideas about anything else this year, I would like to go back and later in the year to the Springfield Mile. I haven't been to that in a few years, and that's always an awesome time. And it's also at the same time of year as the Chief Blackhawk Davenport swap meet, which has always been the largest all-American. If people looking for old Harleys and old vintage American iron, that's the best swap meet in the United States to go to in Davenport, Iowa every year.
Yeah, on that. Very few people, maybe there's probably a lot of people hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, I used to go every year because I'm friends with a guy that was racing. He's gotten to the point, his wife's died, and he's gotten to the point where he can't do it anymore. But he was building and racing sprints, and he's over in Tampico, Illinois. That's where Ronald Reagan was from originally, little nowhere town in Illinois. But there you go. See, I know people everywhere.
And I'm thinking right now of the old Johnny Cash song. I've been everywhere, man. That's you. That is Mike Boyd. And Mike, we're proud to have you as part of the Road Dirt crew.
I appreciate it.
And personally, I am privileged and honored and humbled to call you my friend, for sure.
Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate it too. I enjoy doing it, and I learn things. And trying to learn how to write things, it keeps my mind working, and that's good. You know, anytime you can get your mind to where it is challenged, aside from the maintenance stuff, I do a lot of that. But
you're doing good, man.
It is. Thank you.
Hey, Mike, appreciate you being on the podcast, my friend. God bless, and I'll definitely catch up with you, and we'll have a meal together, some coffee, and go ride.
Let's do it.
Well, we hope you enjoyed our chat with Mike Boyd, the senior statesman here at the Road Dirt Crew, and his amazing, fascinating, event-filled, memorable life. We're thankful to know him and thankful to call him friend and one of the Road Dirt members here. Hey, if you enjoyed this, I hope you'll like and subscribe. Leave us 4 or 5 stars, preferably 5. And leave a comment. We'd love to discuss with you and answer any questions you may have, or any suggestions you have, any thoughts of your own on motorcycling and the series here about each one of our members of the crew. So we hope you'll also look us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all 3 of those. We've got groups and pages there. Road Dirt TV. Check out our main media site, roaddirt.tv. That's where all these contributors contribute photographs, videos, and stories, all there. And also a YouTube channel, Road Dirt TV, without the dot. And you can see bike reviews, event coverage, race reporting, things like that, all kinds of stuff that we do. And looking forward to a great year together here in 2024. Well, until next time, this is Rob with Road Dirt. Ride life.